Revival Authority, chapter 16, verse 13. Whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered in verse 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, the immovable stone, and upon this rock, the immovable rock, I will build my church, Christ being the rock of 1 Corinthians 10:4, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Revival authority. When men and women have the authority of God in their lives, the Word of God here teaches that one of the conditions, and we're going to be talking about tonight, the conditions of revival authority, and one of the conditions mentioned here is to have an open heaven revealing the truth instead of the flesh. And when God, with heaven being open, reveals things about the living Christ, then that's one of the first conditions for revival. Notice Jesus promised that he was building his church upon that immovable stone of whom he is the chief cornerstone. And in verse 19, he said, I'll give unto thee the keys. And a key, obviously, opens up the doors and locks it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is simply God's government in an assembly of believers where the nature of God and the Word of God and the authority of God as a combination, they are prevailing. For example, when God gives us keys of the kingdom, not keys to the kingdom, we got the keys to the kingdom when the Holy Spirit translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son in 1:13 of Colossians. Now that salvation brought us the keys to the kingdom, revival brings us the keys of the kingdom. And if you studied this week what the Bible has to say about the keys of the kingdom, it would fill your study all week. And study the life of the disciples, and study the life of the promises of God, and go into the Old Testament, although they were not the corporate body like we are, nevertheless the spiritual principles avail for them according to the spiritual laws of God in holiness. And he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Now tonight, if I said unto Wayne, I'll give you the keys to this building. I'll give you the keys to the building. It would mean that I would give keys to open the doors. But if I said, I'll give you the keys of the building, you know what that would really mean, pertaining to what it means here? That I would give you a title deed for the entire place. It's one thing for me to let you in the building. But it's quite another thing for me to give you the keys of the building so that the building becomes your personal property. And when Jesus gives the keys to the kingdom, he gives the keys to heaven. But when he gives the keys of the kingdom, he gives you the keys that can take over the necessary things in relationship to heaven. Because you own heaven and heaven owns you. You're not your own. And therefore you have the keys of heaven or the keys of the king. So that as a member of the kingdom, you can reign with the king in the government of God on earth. And you can bind demonic forces. And you can loosen people that are in bondage from the powers of servitude to the flesh and to the devil.
And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. There's something about the kingdom that I want you to have. You've already got the keys to the kingdom. Now, glory be to God, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And revival is simply when believers have the keys of the king for the purpose of being kings in the kingdom. Now, Revelation 1:5 says he's made us to be kings and priests unto God through the blood. Now, if I had the keys to this entire building, that would mean that I own the building. I own the property. I'm going to say what comes on here. I'm going to say what goes off. I'm going to say what happens to this property. It's mine. The keys, the title deed has been given to me. When God gives you the title deed to the earth through faith, because he said all things are yours. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, when Jesus Christ gives you the keys, that means you can bind and you can loose. And furthermore, it means that your Father will do it for you. Through the delegated authority of Jesus Christ who lives inside of you. And according to the very sealing of the Word of God, which is God's own eternal mind. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I like that. Whosoever gets saved and whosoever can has these kingdoms. Don't let any crowd tell you that that was just for the apostles. I could disprove that hundreds of times by showing you if that's for the apostles, then salvation was just for the apostles too. And furthermore, if that stuff was just for them, then I can show you scripture after scripture where we can't claim anything else. We all have to go to hell and be lost and have it over with. No, that's not true. The king is no respecter of persons. In Acts 10:34, he's no respecter. And he said, I'll give you the keys that will open up the mystery of the kingdom. And what is the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17? It's peace. God's peace. Joy. God's joy. Instead of happiness, it's joy. And it's righteousness. It's peace, it's joy, it's righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. And I'll give you the keys which will produce peace and joy and righteousness and holiness in the power of the Holy Spirit. I give you those keys. Take them. They're yours. And the only condition is that you walk in the light. The only condition is that you walk by reckless faith, but make sure it's based upon the Word of God. The only condition is that you get hid in the body, that you obey the leadership, that you walk by faith, that you claim the promises, that you're willing to admit when you're wrong and confess it and make it right, and then be available to grow from that second on. The condition is that you'll be transparent. And if you're transparent and confessed up to date, use the keys all over the place. I give them to you. They're the keys of the kingdom. What a thrill it is. It touches me so much that I could faint with holy awe. A little weak sinner saved by grace, and I've got the keys of the kingdom. I can bind things on earth tonight in prayer. I can loosen things on earth tonight in prayer. Not because I'm anything, God forbid, but feeble, sinful flesh. But glory be to God because of Calvary and the blood and the cleansing and the purging and the new nature and the new covenant and the new agreement and the Holy Spirit living within and the invisible God and the authority given to me through Jesus Christ alone. Through Jesus Christ now I have an exclusive authority derived from Him. And I'm not afraid of the devil tonight, and I'm not afraid to say that a Christian has all the authority that heaven has, providing they're walking in the heavenly will of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, he said, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Glory be to God tonight. A few people will sinner will just utter some sentences. Other people tonight would care less if it was prayer or not. But other people are going to come to God by simple faith. They could care less about the world except to win them for Christ. They could care less about money and time and 100 other things. Their bed will wait. They have deep convictions. They have a deep walk with God. And they'll utter simple sentences. Maybe they won't even be out loud. And heaven will say, "You heard that. Record it." While you're going out, just like prayer means nothing except to say, "Oh, I believe in it," heaven will be responding to people's prayers on earth. And heaven will be binding certain things and loosening certain things. What a thrill, what a joy that a man on earth, redeemed, cleansed, saved, bought, sanctified through the blood of the Lamb. What a beautiful thing it is that tonight we can bind the devil and bind hell and bind the lie. I was thinking tonight, and I'll be speaking about it sometime soon, of the many areas that God has put a shelter over us in through this binding. Now notice it. "And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Turn to Matthew 18. Conditions for revival authority. Listen carefully and don't forget it. It's important. Conditions for revival authority. Verse 11. In the preceding verses, it says that if we offend one of these little ones, it's better for us that a millstone was hung around our neck and we were never born. Conditions for revival authority is not offend children or young Christians or those young in the Lord. Don't offend them at any cost. Don't offend them. Take your hands off. Secondly, verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more than of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray." Now, when a sheep goes astray because they're lost, you go after them. But a lot of sheep went away from Jesus that weren't lost, that chose to leave him, and he didn't go after them. Don't mix up the scriptures. It's one thing if a sheep gets lost by straying. It's quite another thing if a sheep says, "Goodbye, I'm heading out." And you find that they went back and he never went after them. But revival authority means that when somebody goes astray through ignorance, we go after them, one at a time or as many as go. All right. Verse 14. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones," talking about little ones, that whole chapter, "should perish." Moreover, second condition in this chapter for revival authority. "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." The second condition for revival authority is go to alone to tell people their faults. Only to them and always alone. And if we don't do that, there'll be no revival authority. "If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If he will not hear thee, take one or two more with thee in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and every word shall be established." To have revival authority, you take two or three with you to go back if it doesn't work. If that doesn't work, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. There is a way for authority. And I'm saying tonight that I honestly believe that there isn't one church out of 1,000 that obeys this. Not one that really obeys it. And I'm going to show you before we're through in this series, all kinds of conditions for authority. Then I'll ask you, will you help me by grace? And it's going to take grace for me and grace for you to to obey them through the Spirit. And I know that step by step as we grow in it as a body, we'll see the authority just like that. How many understand that? Then there's such things as not eating with him. And on you go. Now notice it. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, glory be to God. Now remember, a lot of people are doing that today that haven't met the conditions, and they talk a lot. But you'll never see them have any kind of a ministry. And once in a while, Satan will make sure circumstances are so they can think God is answering. I could show you 13 classic illustrations of Satan taking over his own people, trying to reveal God's will. Do you know something? The minute that if you're serving the devil tonight, Satan would desperately love to answer your prayer. And while he may not be able to answer your prayer, he'll sure be able to help you along in thinking it's answered if you continue to be rebellious. How many know that? Sometime soon I'll show you 13 classic biblical illustrations of Satan taking a prayer of a rebellious child that's out of the body and giving you the thing, and you know why? To get you deeper in trouble with him. To confuse you. He's the author of confusion. And so, if two of you agree, if you meet the conditions of revival authority, if two of you agree is touching anything, how many things? Anything that they shall ask, it shall be what? Done of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my what? In my name, there am I in the midst of them. And tonight, when two of us gather here in prayer time, we say, well, let's do it like this. Let's say, now, Lou, you agree with me on this tonight. And you say yes. And I'll say, well, in Jesus' name, we're claiming it. You say, the other fellow said, will you agree with me on this? And we said, yes, okay. And agree with me on this. We're going to bind the devil and see the devil defeated over there. And he says, I'll agree. And together you do that together. You both pray to that end. You agree. And then you raise your hand. You say, thank you, Lord. That was beautiful. You touch it. And that's revival authority. That's revival prayer. That's revival faith. That's revival promises. That's revival obedience. Another condition for revival is verse 22. Jesus saith unto them, unless, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. That's what he learned in Luke 17:3. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. And he gives an illustration of the kingdom of heaven for which Peter is now a member. By the way, Peter was a member of kingdom of heaven before Acts 2. Now, he gives an illustration of the kingdom that Peter has the keys of. And he said, Peter, if you're going to realize the authority of the kingdom and bind and loosen, you've got to be forgiving. Through my Holy Spirit. And you've got to make sure you don't offend people. And especially little ones. And then he said you've got to make sure that you help those that are lost in life through ignorance. And go astray. He said these are all conditions for revival authority. How many understand it? All right. I want you to see in closing tonight. This afternoon, I had a man come down from Boston of whom I've never met and his wife. And they had a 3-hour counseling session. I've never met them. He was a scientist for the space project, classified information. You know why they came? Now, I'm only telling you what he said, so don't misunderstand me. He said, because when you prayed on WIT... answers came with people around us. We found a ministry that had practical authority. Quote,
practical authority. And I said, I'm not sure what it means. I'm just glad that God is alive today. I don't know for sure what he means. But he's a space scientist. And he came down, took off from work for 3 hours of counseling with his wife. He said, we've been looking for a ministry that has practical authority. I've never met him. Now listen carefully. Why can't you and I, as we grow together in God's grace, have practical revival authority?